A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Lore Watch, a roundtable freeform discussion about lore and the games of Blizzard Entertainment. I'm Ann Stickney, one of two lore-focused writers from Blizzard Watch, and I've got both of my wonderful co-hosts with me today. First up, we've got the other lore columnist from Blizzard Watch, and that would be Matt Rossi. Hey, Rossi.
Hello.
Hi. Our other columnist focuses on Shaman, but he's so well-versed in lore. That would be Joe Perez. Hey, Joe.
Buenos dias, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien. ¿Y tú? Anyway,
That's not as much
Spanish as I know. Like 2 years in high school, and that was it.
I didn't even take Spanish in high school. I took Latin.
Did you? Yeah. We didn't have Latin when I was in high school. We had Spanish, French, or German, one of the three.
See, I took Latin, but my last name's Perez. So.
Yes, ta-da!
See, there you go. And I took Spanish because living in Colorado, we ran into more people that spoke Spanish than we did people that spoke French or German. So I figured it would be useful. It has come in useful, but that's beside the point. Anyway, so how are you guys doing? How's your week been?
Let's not talk about my week. Let's talk about Joe's week.
Okay, Joe, how's your week been?
I have been painting all of the things. I'm currently working on an orc who thinks he's Napoleon. Napoleon may be my favorite thing ever.
Napoleon. That's fantastic. This isn't a Warcraft orc. I'm assuming it's like Warhammer or something.
It is a generic fantasy orc. So it
generic D&D fantasy fig.
However, I am proud to say that I do have a little Garrosh Hellscream bust being delivered.
Awesome.
So somebody 3D printed me one.
Wow.
And it's going to be sending it to me because they saw my tweets about, hey, you really like orcs. I have a 3D printer. Here's a Garrosh. It's like, okay, thank you.
That's pretty amazing. Man, I wish they'd pop one of those my way. I mean, I don't know anything about painting, but I like Garrosh. So, Rossi, I know that your past week has been like full of eye things and stuff like that, but have you gotten anything done games-wise? Well,
I've gotten a 4-year-old game done a lot, so yeah. Woo-hoo! I went back to Mass Effect, the original Mass Effect, dug out my very first Mass Effect character, the one I didn't finish because I hated the biotic system in Mass Effect so much.
Yeah.
Played him through Mass Effect 1, did like, you know, bring down the sky and all that.
Right.
Then imported him to Mass Effect 2 because they're all three Mass Effect games are now available on Xbox One. They made them all backwards compatible. So imported him to Mass Effect 2, but I had to play him as a soldier in Mass Effect 2 because Mass Effect 2, you get the Revenant. And the Revenant is the most beautiful thing. It's just
absolutely
delightful. So I did that. Got through Mass Effect 2, imported him to Mass Effect 3. I could play him as a Vanguard in Mass Effect 3 because you can do whatever you want there with their weapon system. And played through up to just before you're gonna go kill Cerberus. I did all of the DLC. I did the Omega DLC and I did the Leviathan DLC.
Did you do Citadel?
That's what I'm gonna say is I did Citadel and then I stopped. That's where the game ends for me.
You know what? That was a good place to end it. So,
like if you could do Citadel, then Cerberus, and just stop as you beat Cerberus and be done, that's fine. And I'm not going to like begrudge. This is not a BioWare podcast, so I'm not going to like go on and on about this. But one thing Mass Effect 3 really taught me is the importance of a satisfying conclusion.
Yes. And hopefully Andromeda has that when it comes out later next year.
I don't think Andromeda will have a conclusion. I think it's definitely going to end on a cliffhanger type thing. It's going to have, to be continued.
Maybe it will be its own trilogy, the start of a second trilogy.
They said they weren't going to think about it as a trilogy, but that they were going to consider doing more games.
Maybe leave it a little open-ended at the end then.
The whole thing's about going to another galaxy. And this actually ties into the game we're going to talk about a little bit, because one of the things I like about Overwatch is the open-endedness of the setting. And one of the reasons I wish Blizzard would do a kind of sandbox game in that milieu is because I like the openness of the Overwatch setting.
Right. Well, I hadn't actually introduced that part yet, but since you mentioned it, we are going to be talking about Overwatch today for people that are wondering. We're going to be talking about Sombra because Sombra was revealed at BlizzCon, and we were going to be talking about her involvement with Talon, her origins, and the peculiar connection between the various corporations that have been introduced in Overwatch and what that might mean for the story going forward. Before we get to that, though, I do need to talk about Loot Crate because I got the latest Loot Crate yesterday, and as you know from the last time that we talked about this on the show, the theme was magical and it had stuff from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts, and Where to Find Them. Okay, so this thing was full of actually like some really cool stuff. The t-shirt was a Fantastic Beasts t-shirt. It was like an Obliviator t-shirt. And then it also came with a Doctor Strange Q-fig. The Q-figs they're sort of like the pop vinyls, except that they're way more detailed. I got one before when Deadpool came out. There was one in that loot crate. And this one is actually Doctor Strange himself, and he looks really cool. And that's actually my favorite thing out of the box. Other things that came out of the box, there was a faux leather-bound Game of Thrones journal that's like black leather and silver stamped on the front and back. It's a ruled journal. It's blank. I can fill it with whatever. I thought it was pretty neat. And then there was also a comic. And Rossi, I feel like you would understand this comic maybe more than most. It's like a crossover. It's called Clash of the Cult Classics. And it's basically a crossover between Big Trouble in Little China and Escape from New York.
Yeah. Joe
gets this too. Okay, so
my god, I need this.
Okay, so what it is it's like Jack Burton and Snake Plissken are both in this comic. Like they've both been brought into this reality and they're supposed to go save something or other, and yeah, they interact with each other and it's actually kind of interesting. This is volume this is issue 1 of 6, so apparently this was a 6-part miniseries. I don't know where the other parts are. I know that I was very confused, but I was also highly entertained because the art in it is actually like pretty fantastic. It looks like Kurt Russell. It's really weird.
I wonder if that's
just hoping that every book after is just another character Kurt Russell played.
I don't know.
Or I'm possibly curious. Snake from Metal Gear Solid shows up.
There is a Big Trouble in Little China comic run going on right now.
Okay, well this is Boom Studios, so.
But I'm wondering if this is they're doing. I believe they're the ones that are doing the actual comic as well.
Yeah, and I think they're probably doing the rest of the 6-issue run. I think that this was just it was a special edition that was released for Loot Crate.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
Yeah,
but
I
wonder if that means we're going to get an Escape from series of comics. Yay!
Well, there's, like I said, there are 6 issues in the series, and I've only got issue 1 here. It was really kind of confusing to me, but delightful in a confusing kind of way. The other thing that came with this, and I'm kind of excited about this, I don't play Elder Scrolls Online, right? I've always considered it, but I've never actually played it. However, the loot pin, every month Loot Crate comes out with a pin, a special pin that's in the box, and this month's it's the Elder Scroll. It's like the Ouroboros logo from Elder Scrolls Online, and it's a loot pin, so it includes a code where if you enter it in on the website, you get an Imperial Edition upgrade for free. And that lets you play as an Imperial. I think you get a special horse mount, that kind of thing. So I might actually have to go check out Scrolls, Elder Scrolls Online now, just to like cash in on that and see what that's all about. But yeah, with Loot Crate, it's basically, it's epic gear, housewares, and collectibles. Loot Crate has it. You know, if you want to geek out your pet, you could try Loot Pets. There's also a Loot Crate DX if you want a deluxe edition upgrade, which is pretty cool. If you're more into like fashion and that kind of thing, they have Loot Wear Crates, which is specifically wearables. So like t-shirts, socks, that kind of thing. December's rebellious theme is revolution. And it includes exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, because we've got the Assassin's Creed movie coming out. I don't know about you guys, but I am immediately going to go see that the second it comes out. We've also got, it's also got items from Firefly. There's the monthly t-shirt and pin. There's stuff from Mr. Robot, and there's also an exclusive Funko Pop vinyl figure in this box. So for December's box, you can go to lootcrate.com/LPOD, that's L-P-O-D, and enter the code LPOD, L-P-O-D, to save $3 off on any new subscription. If you want December's Loot Crate, you need to sign up by December 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific. And yeah, I highly recommend it. I mean, if you're looking for some kind of unique Christmas gift for your friends, or if you just want to get it for yourself, that's cool too. But there's all kinds of cool stuff in these things. So yeah, Loot Crate. You want to get yourself set up with Loot Crate, lootcrate.com/LPOD. Enter the code LPOD, save $3 off. So this week on Lore Watch, we are going to be talking about Overwatch. We're going to be talking about Sombra. I wrote a Know Your Lore about Sombra where we were talking about her origins, because as I had hoped, she hacked the BlizzCon opening ceremonies and arrived. And not only did she arrived with a brand new animated short, Infiltration, where it became incredibly clear that Sombra is not necessarily a good guy, but not necessarily a bad guy either. She kind of seems to be walking the line between the two. What do you guys think?
She's definitely sort of there for her, an agenda we don't fully understand yet. We have the sort of little snippets of this is the general thing she's going for. And she definitely catches me as a person who would do anything she needs to get to where she is, or where she needs to be. And it's very apparent in the opening sequence that you get that sort of image of her. That actually is one of the reasons she has quickly become probably my favorite character in Overwatch. Not just because she's, you know, Hispanic, but because she's, you don't know what her end game is yet. And I think that's entirely fascinating in a world of black and white heroes and villains.
She's kind of the conundrum that walks the line between the two, and nobody's quite sure what she's up to. Rossi, what do you think?
Well, I'm more interested in like the conspiracy that she's supposedly trying to uncover.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into her origins, and maybe we should talk about those a little bit.
Well, there's the whole, I mean, basically she's the result of the whole Omnic Crisis.
Yeah, she was an orphan.
Yeah, the Omnic Crisis destroyed a lot of places. It did a lot of damage to the world infrastructure. If you want to think about it in terms of like the kind of destruction we saw during World Wars 1 and 2, that's the kind of thing you're talking about, where like generations ended up orphaned. Lots of people died. There's destruction, reconstruction, that whole kind of thing. And one of the things I thought interesting was that it gave more of an, reading about up on her gave more of a, like a, I don't want to say an edge, but more of a reason to exist for Los Muertos, because they're not just a gang or even just a big narco cult or whatever. They're more than that.
Yeah, that's what I found really interesting in particular. So Sombra was a child of the Omnic Crisis. And I think the whole reason that I like her origin story so much is because, like, you know, I kick around fanfic ideas all the time. I kick around short story ideas all the time. And one of them was about like the children of the Omnic Crisis, both those that were kind of left abandoned after the effects of the Omnic Crisis and those that were born immediately after the Omnic Crisis ended. Like, what happened to those people? How did those people grow from this thing that happened? In Sombra's case, she was an orphan and she was kind of left to her own devices, and she was left to fend for herself as best she could using whatever talent she had at her disposal. And the talent that she had was hacking. That's what she was really good at, was getting information. So she fell in with Los Muertos. And what's interesting about Los Muertos is that, you know, from the Hero animated short, we thought it was just a gang, right? A gang that was down on Omnix, kicking them around, that kind of thing. They were not good guys, obviously, because Soldier 76 appeared to be after them for some reason. But in Sombra's origin, it's kind of expanded because these guys actually consider themselves, speaking of revolution, these guys consider themselves revolutionaries who basically represent those that were left behind by the Mexican government after that whole devastation that was, you know, thrown the whole country. I mean, most of the world, but Mexico in particular was thrown completely into devastation by the Omnic crisis. They were left without power. They were left without anything, you know, they were left to fend for themselves. And the government apparently didn't take the, how do we want to call it? They didn't take the people who needed the help the most and give them the help that they thought that they should be getting. They kind of overlooked them and went for...
It's very similar to the real life parallels of what happened after World War II. Where,
yeah, a little bit.
Where you had companies that sought to sort of fill these gaps and under the guise of rebuilding, but they were plays for power and money. And that's what it was, right? And that's what I think is what you're getting at with Los Muertos is they're a populist gang. They're not a gang of thugs. They're not just evil, you know, people that are out there to do harm. Well, they're there trying to get power back to the people.
If you know about the history of like groups like the Shining Path and so forth, there's or, you know, revolutions throughout the world, there's always groups like that. They exist on the fringes of their respective civilizations or respective cultures, and they appeal to the disaffected, whether you call them a militia or a gang or a terrorist movement, depends on like what you think about them. But in this particular case, Los Muertos is very much in that line. They're very similar to that, where they're basically angry at seeing, you know, wealth being concentrated into a relatively few hands. They're not rebuilding the country for everybody. They're rebuilding the country for the rich. And the rich get all the contracts. The rich get all their reconstruction benefit goes to crews to them. And there's, you know, are they still being manipulated? You know, are they being used by other people? You know, it's hard to say. We don't know a lot about it yet. But I just thought it was interesting because it makes Los Muertos more than just a gang. They pose more of a threat and they're more interesting.
Like, they're more interesting and they do have a point because you look at the president of Mexico at that point in time was Guillermo Portero. Am I pronouncing that right, Joe? I'm probably Guillermo Portero, who was not only the president of Mexico at the time, but he was also the CEO of Lumerico. And Lumerico was a company that was basically brought in to rebuild and like reconstruct the power supplies in Mexico by putting these giant nuclear power plants all up and down. And it just seems kind of shady that the president of the country is also the CEO of the company that is doing the most business in Mexico. You know, there's a lot going on there. So it seems like Los Muertos has a point, which makes me wonder, why was 76 after them? What was he doing? What was he doing? Was he in Hero? Was he in Mexico because he was trying to figure out what Los Muertos was up to? Or was he there looking for Sombra? Or was he there for some other reason? And why was he there? Because 76's origin story seems to be that he is looking for the reason why Overwatch had its downfall.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels like, for some reason, Mexico ties into that. So now I'm wondering, was it Los Muertos that was tying into Overwatch's downfall, or was it actually Lumerico itself? Was it these corporations that were banding together and working together? Because Lumerico had ties with Vishkar, which were uncovered, and Vishkar was seedy in and of itself, because you have Vishkar was working over in Rio de Janeiro, and in Symmetra's comic, and I forget the name of the comic, but the one where she goes to Rio de Janeiro and she's working with the president, and they basically want to construct buildings and kind of ignore all of the poor people in the process and end up stepping on a lot of the poor people and killing a lot of the poor people. And that's when Lucio comes in and kind of leads that whole revolutionary thing. Vishkar, we know Vishkar is seedy, and Vishkar is working with Lumerico, and Lumerico appears to be seedy. And then in this infiltration, this animated short, all of a sudden Volskaya is brought into the picture. And Volskaya might actually be a little seedy. It looks like it's going to be a little seedy. And somewhere in the middle of all of this is Sombra, who at a certain point in her hacking career uncovered a conspiracy. We are not told what this conspiracy is, but we are told that as a result of her being found out, she went into hiding, erased her identity. We don't know who she was before she became Sombra, but she had cybernetic upgrades put into place so that she could more effectively hack things. And now she's kind of working on her own thing, whatever that own thing happens to be. So I guess what I should be asking here is, what do you guys think that conspiracy is? What do you think's going on here? There is something bigger going on.
Well, it's either connected to Volskaya, or somehow being in control of the person who runs Volskaya will benefit her in some way. She basically has leverage on the head of Volskaya now. I can't remember the woman's name. I'm sorry. But you saw in the short, she has leverage on her now, and she intends to use it She intends to use it to further her goals of discovering who it is who almost killed her. Because that's the thing. They didn't just find her. They almost killed her. Like, she didn't – it says right up front in her origin that they completely compromised her security. They came after her. And so that makes it interesting that she's working with Talon, even if she's doing so to manipulate them. Because that means it wasn't Talon. You know, if it was Talon who came after her to kill her, they'd just do it again. Unless they didn't know that the super genius hacker that they discovered once was this new super genius hacker. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they'd be suspicious of that.
It's this weird tangled sort of web, isn't it?
Not really. I think it's a mutually beneficial relationship for Talon. And while Talon may not know what they've gotten wholesale with her, I mean, when you're trying to wage your own sort of shadow war of assassinations and sort of bring the world back to what your view of what it should be is, having somebody who hacked, let's be honest, she hacked the planet. At one point, she set off a complete chain of global hacking. You want that person on your team, or at least as much as you can assume that they're on your team, because that person is useful. And
yes,
you have to take into consideration, though, that yes, she may do her own thing, but does the benefit outweigh the con there?
That's not the thing. The thing I'm saying is that's how you know Talon isn't the people who came after her the first
time.
Because if it was, they'd kill her, because they tried to kill her once already. Those guys, whoever they are, she knows enough about them that they want her dead.
Mm-hmm.
If it was Talon, they'd kill her.
Right.
But they're not trying to kill her, so it's not Talon. So whoever the global conspiracy is, and I think it's, you know, Anne already mentioned one of the players, quite frankly. I can't say their name. Lumineers, like the name of the company?
Lumerico,
that's one of them. These companies, I honestly think it has something to do with how the Omnic crisis really happened.
Same here.
I feel like what we're looking at here, because, okay, let's put these puzzle pieces together. There's some pieces that are kind of, it feels like they've been made a little more obvious. As far as Talon is concerned, if you go all the way back to the first Overwatch comic that came out, the train job, the McCree one, McCree makes a note as he's watching these guys fight that they look like they're using methods that were used by Blackwatch back when he was with Blackwatch. So there's every implication there that Talon is basically, that's what Blackwatch grew into, maybe as part of that whole, you know,
I don't know about
inner workings of Overwatch. Well, see, here's the thing, is we know that Reyes and
I have theories.
Morrison, we know that they were butting heads, and we know that there were things going on within Overwatch that were kind of like getting the attention of the global community, and that was part of what brought Overwatch down, was the fact that people thought that Overwatch was internally corrupt. If Blackwatch evolved into Talon here, if they actually like joined forces with Talon at some point, because Talon did exist beforehand. Talon existed before Overwatch's downfall. They were fighting Talon outright. I mean, Gerard LaCroix was fighting Talon outright. That was how he died. That was how his wife became Widowmaker. So,
one thing though, the reason I don't entirely agree with what you're saying is because the entirety of Blackwatch doesn't have to have evolved into Talon or joined with Talon, because Talon has Reyes working for them.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught them.
He was a leader. He could train them.
Yeah, he could easily just be training Talon guys to fight like Blackwatch. It's not like Blackwatch wasn't effective. Why wouldn't they want to learn those techniques?
So, I still feel like Talon was probably a hand, or at least it took in. I don't think that it just took in Reyes.
Yeah,
I think it took
though.
In those people.
But what if it wasn't
working, deliberately working against Overwatch? And I think that there were internal people deliberately working against Overwatch, and that's what brought it down. It brought it down from the inside. It was both inside and outside. And what I'm looking at here, and what I'd like to suggest here, is that the Omnic Crisis, what happened with the Omnic Crisis, what began the Omnic Crisis, was something that maybe Overwatch hadn't really uncovered. They just put a stop to it, but they didn't figure out what caused it to begin with. And maybe they were on the brink of discovering that, and that's when things hit the fan.
My thing is really simple. Talon is too much like Cobra. And every time I see them, I think to myself, this is what you'd create if you had a global conspiracy going and you wanted to distract these guys. This is the group you'd make. And that's why I think Talon isn't pulling the strings. And that's why I think
they aren't pulling the strings. What I'm saying is that they are working for whatever this global conspiracy thing is that Sombra uncovered. I think Talon is working for them. And
I don't
that's
think
why
Talon's even working for them. I think Talon is a step. It's like literally, Talon is the thing you make to distract everybody. And I think Sombra's working with them because she knows that.
Yeah, that's
and
what
she's going to use that to get another rung up on the ladder.
I really don't think
hold on a second. They have to be getting their money and armaments from somewhere. They're not government funded. No government is claiming ownership for them.
No.
They have incredibly advanced technology, not just from, you know, what
the
Reaper
that Farrah works for. Is Farrah Lumerico as well?
Farrah is not Lumerico.
Symmetra.
Symmetra is working for Vishkar.
So you've got Vishkar out there, and they're messing around with like the advanced light based technology. We've got who made the stuff that Lucio is using?
He stole stuff from Vishkar.
Yeah.
So you've got Vishkar, where Lucio stole his gear from, and where Symmetra gets her stuff from. You've got Lumerico. There's others out there. There's the company originally, the Omnic Crisis and the Omnium. That was a company. You know.
Well, here's okay. So let me get my thoughts out here without being interrupted in the middle of them, right? Okay, so this is what I think that we're looking at. Once upon a time, we had the Omnic Crisis. It started. The Omnics revolted. There was something going on where they got out of control. And Overwatch was founded and brought together to fight this Omnic Crisis and bring a halt to it. Once they brought a halt to it, they were pretty much, you know, the light of everybody's eyes. I feel like what brought that Omnic Crisis around in the first place is possibly the same thing that's bringing around the second Omnic Crisis. So if what we're looking at here is a global conspiracy between global corporations like Volskaya, like Lumerico, like Vishkar, not necessarily Volskaya even though, but companies like Vishkar, companies like Lumerico, if they were somehow involved in what brought the Omnic Crisis around to begin with, right? They would be very interested in stopping anything that's going to either uncover that involvement or bring a stop to that. Because we've got that second Omnic Crisis going on in Russia. Where was the one place that Overwatch was not involved? It was Russia. They took care of the problem themselves. So is it possible that Katya Volskaya, in her dealings with Omnics to get this technology to kind of like bring the whole thing into line, she's on the verge of discovering whatever it was that Overwatch was on the verge of discovering. Is that why they put Talon on her butt and said, we need to take her out? That's why I think that Talon is involved with all of this, is because Talon, at every point that Talon appears in this Overwatch story, it's either something to do with Overwatch or something to do with Omnics that are getting too close to whatever the truth happens to be.
Peace is bad for business.
Maybe.
So I have a couple thoughts on this, and they may be a little scattered.
That's actually a good thought. Good quote, Joe.
So you have the original Omnic Crisis, which was the entire uprising of a robotic population that was originally created to bolster production, right? Why wouldn't you want production to be bolstered because it's being bolstered in such a way that you're losing control of it. Create a crisis, hack the system, or cause a corruption of that system that makes them violent or pits them against it, or reveal to them the truth that there are human, there are actual humans out there seeking to, enslave them or enslave the population or do something unspeakable. I mean, a machine has cold, hard logic. It could be either that they were infected or it could be that they looked at it and said, we need to go to these places and we need to attack before we get attacked because here it's coming. So I'm pretty sure that everybody inside of that original Omnicrisis was played middle against the ends. Somebody benefited from that. And it's all those people that benefited in the aftermath of recovery from it. We took at this global conspiracy. Theoretically, it's going to be monetarily based, economically motivated, at least in my mind, because there's money in rebuilding. There's money in war. There's money in suffering. There's power.
Lumerico has been making money hand over fist. Vishkar has been making money hand over fist. The only one that hasn't really, I mean, Volskaya been making money? Yes, but it's all been internalized to Russia because Russia wanted nothing to do with Overwatch. They took care of their own things.
Sure. But and this is why I think it has something to do with that, because if Volskaya is working with the Omnics to trade information back and forth and seek, for lack of a better term, peace, killing Katya erases that. It puts them back at odds with each other. You don't have to worry about London. London hates Omnics. You don't have to worry about
London.
You
know, definitely hates Omnics now that the assassination of
who was preaching what? Peace.
Yeah, peace who between Omnics and people.
And had a really good following. Murder him or murder it, whatever. I don't know what the gender pronoun for the Omnic was. But you murder that, now you destabilize that, and we go back to these wars. Everybody blames everybody else, and there's infighting, there's sort of disruption. Even Los Muertos, like, they're taking the Mexico back, trying to give it to the people, but what if, you know, Soldier 76 is being manipulated too? What if he's being fed intel? We know that it's happened before. Look at the whole thing with Hakim and the $70 billion bounty on the masked bandit when he was trying to hunt down Anna. Of course that's going to lure in Soldier 76 and get him that. What happens if he's picking up on intel or cross chatter that he thinks is real and acting on it when it's actually not? It's actually designed to make him go places. Like, all of a sudden he catches up chatter that Los Muertos is planning to cause a nuclear meltdown.
Of course he's going to show up. I feel like that if Talon isn't necessarily working directly for this global conspiracy, they are, but maybe they don't know that they are. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I meant when I said that I thought that Talon was the perfect thing to create to mask it. If you have a global conspiracy that's a shadow organization manipulating the world to its own ends, Talon is great because they're the public face. They're the people that, you know,
they're the public. Overwatch, oh, those are the bad guys.
Overwatch is going to go after them, and while they're going after them, you keep doing what you're doing. It's essentially, to bring it over to World of Warcraft for a second, it's the old Shadow Council Horde trick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Horde's the public face. The Horde are the rampaging horde of monsters that you fight. While you're busy fighting those guys, the Shadow Council does its evil business. It's the same kind of thing. Here's one of the things that really, every time we talk about this, the thing that comes to mind with me is, we still don't actually know if the Omnic Crisis was caused or just happened.
Or just an accident?
Yeah, we don't know. Did some of the Omniums develop, like some machine in one of the Omniums somewhere, develop self-awareness? Did it just happen? Did they make a computer so complex that it started thinking?
I feel like it was somebody did something, because it was crushed, right? Like the Omnic Crisis, it was over.
The crisis
it was
done
was
crushed,
with.
But the Omnics themselves aren't gone.
No, and then we've got the second Omnic Crisis starting to happen all over again in Russia. And what was Russia? Russia was the one country that didn't depend on Overwatch or have anything to do with any outside countries. They dealt with things themselves. They were an island unto themselves. Whatever they did to resolve this crisis, it didn't involve the rest of the world, which also meant that whatever aftermath was left over, it didn't benefit the rest of the world. It didn't benefit companies like Vishkar. It didn't benefit companies like Lumerico, because Russia handled it all on its own. Is that why Russia's got this second Omnic Crisis going on? Are they trying to force Russia's hand?
I think so, yeah.
There's still, until we know, like, for instance, you know, we've got like Zenyatta and other Omnics that are obviously self-aware. Straight up, Bastion was never designed to be self-aware.
he just kind of stumbled into it.
Bastion was a turret. I mean, that's literally what Bastion
he was
is.
He was one of the robots that were manufactured specifically for the purposes of furthering the war.
He is literally a war machine that suddenly decided, I don't want to be a war machine anymore. Which, in of itself, implies that the Omnics can keep going on that process. Even when the Omnics that design it, like the Omniums that design and build them, don't design and build them to do that. Even the random individual Omnic can say, nah. You know, me and this bird kind of been talking. I like this bird.
They've got the capability for freedom of thought, which is kind of disturbing when you think about it.
It's disturbing, but it also means that whoever is behind this, it's like, you know,
they've underestimated what the Omnics are capable of.
Or never intended this to be the case. Like, this is why I keep thinking this isn't something like when we're talking about this. I think the conspiracy is much less about profiting and much more about covering up.
Yeah,
because I don't think these guys meant this to happen, because it's going all sorts of weird places. You would never design, you know, I'm not designing my army of killer robots to stop being killer robots. That's not what, why would I do that? I want them to be killer robots. That's what they're for. Now my killer robot is like, you know, imagine if all the Bastion units did that during the war. They all decided, we like birds. Yeah, we do. We all like birds, right? We all like this guy. Yeah, that's the coolest bird I've ever seen. Let's all go hang out with the bird. Why are the robots leaving?
And Mondada was kind of the face of that, Takartha Mondada. He was kind of the face of that whole movement.
And so you have, like, why assassinate him? Maybe they didn't kill him just to silence him. Maybe they killed him because they're afraid of him.
Yeah.
Because he is the living symbol of your problem.
And he was the one that kind of engineered the whole Omnic spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm. And you've still got, like, you know, if you think about it, like...
I mean, he was the head of the Chambali, so...
If you look at what Sombra has turned herself into, she's becoming more like an Omnic every
She's like time. Half and half. She's this weird hybrid kind of thing. Like, than Genji.
Didn't you show, like, I think you showed it, or maybe it was in your KYL, or it was actually at BlizzCon, I was looking at it. There's panels from, like, her origin deal. Like, there's a video that's like, you know... It shows her life and shows her origins. And there's one part when she's getting the cybernetic augmentations, mm-hmm. you see them implanting them into her spine.
Yep.
Like she's got them all up and down her back.
And her brain, it looks like too.
Brain, yeah. It's like, it's fascinating to think, like, you know, the Omnic stuff is where this is all going.
I just
going.
Put the picture in Slack for you both.
Yeah, it comes back to that, like, idea of, you know, a lot of Overwatch, you see it. You see it with Soldier 76, who is... not becoming an Omnic, but he's becoming inhuman. Like, he's given up a lot of, like...
How did he come back to life?
Well, he's a super... They even make jokes of it when you look at his voice lines. Like, what did they inject me with? Like, he is a super soldier. What I find more interesting, like, when you're looking at, like, the conspiracy side of things, is the image in Sombra's origin where she has everything laid out, so to speak, with the wires.
And I just linked that in Slack, too.
Because if you look at it, the symbol, the sort of Eye of Sauron-esque thing that saw her when she was looking at it is smack dab in the middle. And look at all those direct lines. Lumerico is a direct line. Volskaya is a direct line with a branching path to the one that was
Katya.
Not just Katya. I'm talking about the company from Utopia. Vishkar. So you have Vishkar there as well. Look how close Talon is. There's a direct line to Talon.
Well, that's why I
direct line to Overwatch.
When you look at that image there, what you see there is that the closest thing to that global conspiracy, and that global conspiracy is symbolized by that eye. That's the eye that saw her. That's the eye that caused her to disappear. The closest thing to it is Talon. It's
also,
like right there.
If you also notice, one of the interesting things is that she put Reaper closer to Overwatch than she did to Talon.
Yeah, and the other thing that I find kind of fascinating, too, is if you look, there is an interlinking branch between, I believe that is Vishkar and Talon, and in between the two is Doomfist.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're going to be hearing more about Doomfist soon. I hope that we do.
Well, there's two different... It looks like there's two different references to Doomfist, because there's also one lower between Talon and... And Vishkar, it looks like.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, like that, there's that interconnecting thread between the two. So where did Doomfist fall in all of that? And given the appearance of, you know, the Doomfist, and you saw the posters, how there were like three different ones, that kind of thing. If you go to, what's that map? You know the one I'm talking about. There's a map with the museum, and you're escorting the payload, and
Mumbai.
The payload. Huh?
Is it Mumbai?
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's the one in Africa? I'm not sure. Anyway, the payload. The Doomfist is on the payload. You're escorting the Doomfist to the site of the museum, right? It's this powerful thing. It also showed up in the Overwatch, you know, the launch trailer. There was Doomfist there at the museum, and Widowmaker and Reaper were trying to get their hands on it. Like, they wanted it for some reason. That's the other thing that's interesting to me, because if you watch the direction that Talon has gone, like, the actions that they have taken and the steps that they have taken, I guess unraveling the conspiracy and what that conspiracy is, you kind of have to look at those steps and ask yourself, why are they making those?
See, here's the thing. That's one of the things that I was thinking about from the beginning.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why I think Talon isn't necessarily, like, aware of what it's doing. And I think Reyes's relationship with Talon isn't quite what we think it is. Here's the thing. Reyes and Morrison had their falling out. They had whatever happened between them, then they both basically died and turned into what they are, right? Can we agree on that? That's
yes.
Basically the case. Here's the thing I've been thinking all along. How do we know Reyes and Soldier 76 have had their falling out? How do we really know, you know, what
Well, if you
if?
Look at the Ana comic, if you go to the Ana comic, they actually meet up again.
Yeah.
And it's very clear that they still don't like each other at all.
Except if Reyes is working really deep cover, they wouldn't be friendly because that would blow it.
Do you think that he's really working undercover?
I'm not saying he is, but that picture of all the various things. Why does Sombra put Reyes so close to Overwatch and so far away from Talon when he's been working for Talon this whole time? Why is he closer to Overwatch than Talon? The second I saw that, I started thinking, what, he might not even be working for Overwatch or deep cover in that way. He may be just have decided on his own, all right, I'm going to see what's up with Talon. I'm going to see why I ended up dying. I'm going to see what the rot in Overwatch was. And maybe he and Morrison are basically both doing, like, here's the thing, he and Morrison have always been this way, where they both have the same goal, but completely different ways of achieving it. From the beginning, that's how they've interacted with each other.
And maybe that whole, oh, I'm mad at the Golden Boy thing was like a facade?
Or maybe he is mad at the Golden Boy, and he's going to show him up. He's going to go and you know, he's working for Talon now because he, you know, what does he have to lose? I mean, the guy, he's literally a walking dead.
He's got nothing to lose right now.
But he wants to know, if he wants to know what happened to him, there's two ways to work at that. The one way would be to just basically find Mercy, strap her to a table somewhere and ask her some pointed questions until she answered him. But he can't really get to her. But if he can get, you know, if he can get his way through, work his way through Talon, if Talon is connected to whoever the rot in Overwatch was, if it wasn't Reyes, like, if, like, Reyes has been basically painted as the villain in all this, if he's not, well, he'd be the only one to know he wasn't, wouldn't he? Imagine him going, wait a minute.
Yeah, because it's not like he's going to go to Widowmaker and say, hey, by the way, I'm working for the good guys. That's a terrible idea. She's been brainwashed.
Yeah, but, and imagine if you're him. If you are Reyes, you're sitting there going, okay, I know I didn't actually do all this, but no one's going to believe that I didn't do all of it. So what? I'll use it. And,
I might as well just lead into it.
Yeah, and find out who's really behind everything.
That's such a good idea.
I was actually going to bring that same point up because that's been bothering me since Reaper was first introduced. Because in every short we ever see of him, he never actually murders anybody. And he has plenty of opportunity to do so.
And he's...
Like,
yeah.
He could have murdered... He had Winston dead to rights. Why didn't he murder Winston? He's had Soldier 76 dead to rights a couple of times at this point. Why didn't he do anything? Like, it's...
And if you follow the path of Talon,
mm-hmm.
Talon just appears... It's like their trail is kind of muddied because we first see them... Well, we see them in the train job where they're trying to get some sort of relic or artifact or something mm-hmm. from the train. McCree just tosses it off the train and says, here, you guys take it. Leave the civilians alone. And then you see... In Recall, he's trying to get access to the list of all of Overwatch's agents.
Yep.
That's what he's trying to do there. And he was unable to successfully do that. In Alive, they were sent to assassinate T'Kartha Mundata, and they did that successfully. They pulled it off. On the Ilios...
It was Widowmaker.
Yeah, but on the Ilios map, Talon's trying to steal artifacts in Ilios for some reason. We don't know why. And then in Volskaya, they're trying to take out Katya Volskaya. They're trying to kill her, and they weren't successful with that. Widowmaker was actually ordered to stay outside while Sombra and Reaper worked on the inside. So, do you think Reaper's in on it with Sombra? Like, does Sombra know that Reaper's...
No, I think, first off, if I'm Sombra, I'm not trusting that guy.
Exactly, yeah.
And if I'm Reaper...
not a good idea.
If I'm Reaper, I'm not trusting anybody because...
Exactly.
I don't... If Reaper is, in fact, just what he appears on the surface, then he doesn't trust anybody because he's bitter and, you know, hates everything. If he's, in fact, trying to work them to find out what happened, he's absolutely... You know, he trusted the people in Overwatch, and look what happened to him. He's falling apart. You know, there's that...
He's in a perpetual state of falling apart and being put back together again, whether he likes it or not.
So if you're
the super soldier program, I guess.
If you're him, you absolutely... You got to be at least a little bitter. I mean, even if he and Morrison are kind of working the same job from different sides, you got to be a little bitter. Morrison still seems to be more or less human.
See, and in my brain, that's part of what, at least the way that I envision it, that was part of their initial argument between the two was, you know, maybe Reyes was the first person to get injected and it wasn't exactly great. And he found out that he was falling apart on top of all this other stuff. And then he gets blamed for all these horrible things because obviously he's unstable. And Morrison, who has no side effects from the same program, in his brain's like, well, I'm fine. Clearly you're fine. You have to be lying. Like, you can't possibly be telling me the truth. So that's, to me, that's what, like, in my brain, that's what the argument started as, and then it just escalated from there.
It's a little weird too, because you look at it, Reaper and Morrison both, they both survived this thing that should have by all rights killed them, and they were both a part of this super soldier program that we didn't hear a whole lot about. But like, I don't know, I feel like there was something more going on there. And I know in Reaper's origins, it says that it's speculated that Reaper was the byproduct of failed genetic alteration, which forced his cells to simultaneously decay and regenerate at a hyper-accelerated rate.
But what if it didn't?
That's why the miss.
What if it wasn't failed? What if that was always the intention, or what if that was his mutation? Like, what if it's a mutating agent? Like,
so what, like, I want to know, sort, is,
and that was his power all along.
What I want to know is the organization that did this whole super soldier program. What happened to them? Are they still around, or were they part of that whole Vishkar Lumerico cahoots thing going on?
We know that Mercy was involved.
Mercy came in after. No, Mercy. Jeez. Mercy had nothing to do after.
No, it's not in the Super Soldier stuff. She's involved specifically in what almost killed Morrison and Reaper and Reyes. She's involved in that because she did something, and that's why they're alive, and that's why her whole line about heroes never die, that's hooked into that. She's involved somehow, but he can't get to her to ask her what she did. Did she do something that interacted with it? And did it interact badly with it in his case? Did she, you know, because there's like a lot we still don't quite understand. We don't know, like, for instance, Ana Amari, her gun was designed by Torbjorn, right?
Yeah.
But it was based on Mercy's principles, the same devices she uses to heal people.
Yeah, it was the biotic rifle.
And so Morrison's got those biotic grenades. So clearly there's, you know, there's a lot going on here that we don't quite understand yet. What is the deal? Is biotic stuff like the opposite of Morrison? I mean, of Reyes? Is he literally going through the opposite process? Like, basically what's happening is he's decaying and feeding off of other people's life forces. There's like so much going on here, but I really do think that Reaper is more complex than we've seen yet. There's more going on with him.
I agree.
Just because of that Sombra, the Sombra thing where she's got him right next to Overwatch really has me curious.
There's a whole lot that's going on there where it's like, I feel like there's this giant tangle of story there that we're slowly going to see like pulled apart into its various pieces until it's all laid out and it all makes sense. I'm wondering though, if this has to do with why First Strike was canceled. Because Overwatch First Strike was a graphic novel that was supposed to come out. It was supposed to be released in digital format this month. And it turns out that it was canceled entirely. And what it was going to tell the story of, it was going to tell the story of the formation of Overwatch and everything that happened with the first Omnic Crisis. It was canceled, and we were told that it was because they wanted to take the story in a different direction. So, you know, you get the sense that they are building this as they go. Obviously, like, sure. Overwatch's story, they are building it as they go. They are putting the building blocks together as they go. But the story that they're building is a really compelling story, and I kind of like what they're doing with it so far.
I went and looked it up, by the way.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a corporation that did the Soldier program, the Soldier Enhancement Program.
It was the government?
It was the U.S. Army.
Okay, it was the U.S. Army. All right.
Which makes sense, since they were fighting. But the two, you know...
But who came up with the technology for that program?
I'm assuming it was contracted, but we'll find out eventually.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's interesting here is there were more than just those two. Morrison and Reyes were the most prominent guys.
But there were plenty others.
There's plenty of blank silhouettes on everything we've been seeing that refers to heroes or identities, even on Sombra's map and even beforehand when we were doing Recall. Like, there's plenty of faces. We don't know who they are yet.
And it's going to be interesting and seeing.
There's the other thing that's interesting too is we haven't even talked about the JO8 yet, which is on the map, and it's also one of the programs that came out in response to the Omnic Crisis. The JO8 was the Crusader armor.
Yeah.
The Crusaders War, and that's basically Reinhardt. If you've seen Reinhardt in game, Reinhardt is a Crusader. That's what he's wearing, and that's like there's you know what is that? Isn't he on her map too? Like, isn't his head up there? Thought it was, but I don't have it open.
I don't see him on there. The people that I do see on there. No, wait, he is. He's on there. Reinhardt's on there. Torbjorn's on there. You've got Tracer, Winston are connected together. There's a little branch off, and the little branch off has Mercy. You can sort of see part of Mercy along with Genji, and I'm assuming that that's branching off to Hanzo.
And yeah, it looks like it's Hanzo up there by the... That looks like it's his family's. That's the two dragons symbol right by there.
There's Genji just above. Isn't that Genji just above Morrison?
It is. Yeah, and you follow that to
he's nestled in with Morrison symbol. And Mercy.
Yeah, because Mercy is the one who saved Genji.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By completely reconstructing him.
It's a little odd. It's just. Well, it's a little odd. And
she saves Morrison. She saves Reyes. She saves Genji. What did she use the same process?
Maybe.
We don't know.
Well, Genji is much more.
Mercy's up to.
Genji is is almost as reconstructed as Sombra is, like in terms of implants and technology. But Sombra went out and did it to herself, and she did it on the black market, near as we can tell. She didn't have Mercy; she just did it. She went out and found people,
and
used her connections from Los Muertos.
Mercy got her position. Like, she became head of surgery at that Swiss hospital that she was at before Overwatch, and this was like. She became the head of surgery at that Swiss hospital, and then she pioneered a breakthrough in the field of applied nanobiology, which was basically it was nanobiology. It's like taking, you know, omnic pieces or whatever. It's doing exactly what she did with Genji.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like her field of expertise, is that kind of thing. I don't think Mercy's a bad guy, though, because I think it's been reiterated more than once that Mercy, she's not a bad guy. Nothing that she's doing. The stuff that she's doing because she believes in the preservation of life. Like the biotic rifle, she had strong objections.
She
had strong objections to what Torbjorn was doing because she said that she didn't, she couldn't, okay. She said that this was setting Overwatch down a road that could lead to the weaponization of biotic technology, and that she'd only conducted research in the field on the condition that it would not be used for offensive purposes. She doesn't want anything to do with the attacking. She wants everything to do with the putting things back together and making things right.
Yeah, and that's fine, but there's another side of that coin. Like, there's a possible to swing too far in one direction to the point where you're reanimating corpses.
How far is too far is, yeah, that would be the applicable question there. But at the same time, I don't think that Mercy is doing any of this with any kind of, like,
you don't have to be
malign
the doing
purposes
it.
Or anything.
You don't have to be the one doing it. Once you invent a thing, it's out there.
Yeah.
Just because Mercy is the best at it
doesn't mean she's the only one that's doing it.
And, you know, once you've developed this applied nanobiology, once you have the biotic wet grenade, you know, Morrison's dropping grenades that heal people. Once you've got that technology out in the world, other people are going to do something with it. The problem we have is that there's a lot of unknowns. We have a lot of things we know. we have a lot of things we don't know, but then we have things we don't even know we don't know.
Yeah, and those are the best parts.
So I'm interested in seeing, like, you know, we need to see more about Genji. I would love to see, like, a Genji Sombra interaction in some way, but to see basically what is she doing with this map? What is she trying to reconstruct? What is she looking for? Because that's the real secret. She knows more about it than she's showing.
I think the biggest question in my mind, there are two here, but the biggest one, and the one that I've been trying to unravel since Overwatch started coming out with all this delicious story, is why did the Omnic Crisis happen? Not how, why. Why did it happen? And I haven't been able to untangle that one yet, but oh man, I'm working on it. I don't even know if they've untangled it yet at Blizzard. Maybe that's something that's part of the story that they're building. I don't know. All right then. I think we're kind of actually over time a little bit, but I don't really care because this was a really fun discussion. Blizzard Watch. It's made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch, and your continued support means that this podcast, site, and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience. If you've got any questions for Lore Watch, and we will take questions, lore-related questions for any of Blizzard's titles, you can send those to podcast@blizzardwatch.com. Just be sure that you put Lore Watch in the subject line so that we know that it's intended for this show. And if you are totally interested in picking up Loot Crate, pick up December's Rebellious Theme Revolution and get exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, monthly t-shirt and pin, and an exclusive Funko Pop. You can sign up for that at lootcrate.com/lpod and enter the code LPOD to save $3 off on any new subscription, which is pretty perfect for the holidays. So final thoughts, you guys. I have a question for you. Is Sombra a good guy or a bad guy? Rossi, go.
If we were using D&D terminology, I would call her neutral.
Okay.
True neutral, straight up. She is very selfish, so you could make
true case neutral or chaotic neutral.
She's not very chaotic. I mean, she manipulates people, but she's not. The chaos is because they're falling into her plan. It's not her herself. She's pretty methodical. If you look at all the research she's doing.
Okay.
So I mean, you could balance it out. I'm going to go with true neutral because she cares mostly about herself.
Okay. Joe, same question. Is Sombra a good guy or a bad guy?
Yes. Like, honestly, she's whatever the situation needs her to be. She is fluid. That's what I feel she is. She doesn't fall into one category or the other. But I wouldn't necessarily put her as neutral either. She'll swing whichever way will be most beneficial to herself.
Come on, like, dude. I know you know who Mordenkainen is, and I know you know that that's exactly a description of him.
Yeah, shut up. You're the one person that can freaking peg me.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and call it there. As far as Sombra goes, I don't know if she's a good guy. I don't know if she's a bad guy. I think it's fascinating how she walks the line between the two. And I really can't wait to see what other stories Overwatch has to tell as time goes on here. Thanks for listening, you guys, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA.
TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.